turn in your Bible, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and ushers will be glad to let you borrow one. Or if you don't own a Bible, you can make that Bible a gift from the Lord to you. And we want to encourage you to have a Bible, read your Bible, bring it with you to church, and you know, you can mark it down, mark things in it, and Bible study is very important. It's essential. Hebrews chapter 11, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse 23, Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. And by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Father God, we thank you today for your word once again, and we ask you that you would speak to each one of us individually, Lord, that you would have a word for us today from you, from your heart, in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat. So we've been studying through this great book of Hebrews, and we've come to chapter 11, where we've looked at this, what we know to be the hall of faith. And we know that we've seen that there's been a great understanding of faith through the life of Enoch and Noah and Abraham and each of these characters that we've looked at in relationship to this. And the reason that this writer is writing this to these Hebrews is because they were struggling with their faith. They were considering going back to Judaism and leaving Christianity behind. So they were dealing with this issue within their own faith. And today we come to a study of one of the greatest men in all the Bible. When, you know, you look at the greatest patriarchs, the greatest leaders in the history of Israel, the two that come to mind very immediately is, of course, Abraham. And then right after Abraham, really just almost as equally important in the eyes of the Jews, is Moses. And, you know, it's interesting because as you look at this, you know, and you look at the story and the life of Moses, it's incredible how it begins with his parents. And he had some parents who were unsung heroes, really. We don't even really see their name listed here in the book of Hebrews, but their names were Amram and Jochebed. And they were men and women, a man and a woman who were men and women of faith. And it tells us really, as we see this in verse 23, how they hid Moses for 3 months because they saw that he was a beautiful child. They had a fearless faith, and they were not afraid of the king's command. You know, at the time when Moses was born, the Pharaoh had put out a decree that all the children were to be put to death. All the male babies were to be put to death. And even the Hebrew midwives were not following through with the edict of the Pharaoh at that time, as they came back and told the Pharaoh, well, these women, they're too lively, you know. We can't get the kids before they put them out, and so we couldn't put them to death. They had a conscience about them, a conscience and a decision that they would do that. And Moses' parents had to have significant faith in order to stand in this matter. It could have cost them their lives to stand against Pharaoh, to stand against these things, and their whole family could have been killed, but they didn't allow that to deter them to make their stand. It's interesting. It says that they did this because they thought Moses was a beautiful child. Now, every parent, every mom and dad thinks their child is beautiful, right? I mean, no, and in fact, when you see a baby, what do you say? You look at the baby, oh, what a beautiful baby, right? No one looks at a baby and goes, man, they're ugly as, I mean, you can't. If you do that, you're not going to be friends with that mama, I can tell you that. But here, it's because it was a beautiful child. But the wording here, beautiful child, means a little more than what we see on the surface. It's really talking about a child with a great destiny, something they saw in the child, something that they had faith that God would do something in the life of Moses, a heart of depth in this man, in this boy, in this baby, this little child. They looked at their child with eyes of potential. You know, and as parents, this is a wonderful thing. We should have eyes like that for our children. We should look at our kids with eyes of potential. What can they become? What can they do? How can they follow God? And they did what they could to save his life in the time when children were being murdered. And they were not afraid. They stood up to the authorities because of a higher authority. They stood up against the authorities of the land. Like Peter in the book of Acts, when Peter was questioned by the Sanhedrin, Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, and they said, listen, we're going to let you go, but you cannot speak in the name of Jesus anymore. You cannot preach in the name of Jesus Christ anymore. Peter stood and said, shall we obey God or man? And the answer to that is, of course, when the question is ever to obey God or obey man, the answer always is to obey God. It's always to keep keep God as being first in that way. And faith follows the law of God, the righteousness of God. When faced with persecution, when faced with question, shall we obey God? Shall we obey man? And you know, I think again of Pastor Saeed right now, still in prison in Iran. An American pastor who's of Iranian descent, connected, by the way, to us as Calvary Chapels. He was part of a Calvary Chapel church out in Idaho. And Pastor Saeed is still in prison, still being held. Why? Because he's saying, I trust God and I believe in Jesus Christ and I'm not going to deny my faith and I'm going to obey God rather than man. As the moral decline rises in our nation, persecution will rise proportionately. And as that persecution rises proportionally, the question we have today for us, in our faith, will we make a stand? Will we be like Moses' parents were? These Hebrew Christians, again, were faced with the issue of taking a stand in their Christian faith in the face of family pressure, financial challenge, and personal discomfort. They had all kinds of challenges facing them, and they're being faced with this question, will you stand? And that's why he's bringing this to them. You know, when you look at these things that happen in history and how they tried to destroy the Hebrew nation by killing the babies, Satan is behind these things. Just like he was behind the slaying of Abel, and he's behind Haman who tried to destroy the nation, and Nebuchadnezzar who put Daniel in the lion's den, and the killing of the babies in the time of Christ. It's all a plan of the enemy to try and destroy the next generation, and in their case, to kill, to try and destroy the Messiah who was to come. There's always a Pharaoh who will come along on the scene to throw our children into the river of the world. The question is, will we as parents be like the parents of Moses and be men and women who are men and women of faith like Moses' parents were? You know, it begins with that. It's so wonderful that we see this in the heritage of Moses. You don't understand how important this was to... there's that sound demon again. He's coming out again. I mentioned Satan's name and the sound starts going bad. But this was so valuable to Moses' background, so important to Moses, that his parents saved him. They led him to salvation. You know, can I tell you, parents, something that's so essential for you? You need to be leading your children to salvation. You need to lead your children to an understanding of Jesus Christ, that they might be born again, that they might confess their sin and know that Jesus is their Lord and their Savior, and they might know, you might know that your kids are going to heaven. And I'm not about you. There's nothing more important to me than my kids walk with the Lord. In fact, John wrote that in 3 John. He said, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in truth. So essential. Well, we see that Moses then becomes a man, and it says by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses was choosing by faith. He made choices by faith. How do you make your choices in life? Moses did it by faith. He was a man of great integrity. You know, you're going to be facing choices all your life. Every one of us do. And I was reading the words of Eleanor Roosevelt, who said this: one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die, and the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. That's something that needs to be heard today, that the choices we make are our responsibility. You know, it's so interesting when you think of the abortion issue, that there's one side that's called the pro-choice movement, and the other is pro-life, of course, or as you hear it on the news, anti-abortion. But pro-choice. Can I ask a question here? Why didn't they make the choice beforehand? They could be pro-choice then. You could choose. You know, do you know, this might be a revelation to some, but do you know if they choose to abstain, they wouldn't get pregnant? Isn't that an amazing thing? And a person can make that choice. Choices are something we all are faced with constantly. And Moses is faced with this incredible choice, and in his integrity, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. We'll always have these choices, but little choices affect big choices. And by the way, when you don't choose in something that's important in life, you've made a choice. When you fail to make the right decision, you've automatically made the wrong decision. Moses chose affliction over comfort. He chose Christ over the treasures of Egypt. We're going to get into that later with the next verse. People will often say they can't do something, but most often, really, it's that they won't do something. They make a choice. Joshua said it this way. He said, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, Joshua said. He made a choice. And you can make a choice every single day. And if you don't know Christ today, if you've not been born again yet, you make a choice. He's speaking to your heart today. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to you and tell you that you need Christ. He will tell you that there is a need in your life. You have an emptiness in your life. And that the only one who can fill that is the person of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose from the dead. And you can make a choice today if you've not done that yet. And your choice can be to say yes to him and open your heart. And when you do, he'll flood your life with his love and his peace and his joy. But it's a choice, and we all face these choices. And the reason we can make that choice to put our trust in Jesus is because Jesus made a choice. Jesus made an incredible choice. He says in John 10:17, therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it up from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. His choice allows us to make the choice to follow him. When you're faced with a choice of the world or the Lord, what do you choose? Jesus chose the cross so that you could choose forgiveness. What do we do when we're faced with choices? You know, in the parable of the sower and the seed, one of the things that happens there, the cares of this world choke out the word. That's because of choices. You think of the rich young ruler. You remember him, how Jesus came to him and he said, you know, forsake everything, leave everything behind, and come and follow me. But that rich young ruler, he made a choice. You remember that? And his choice was, he turned away sadly because he had so many riches. In other words, he wasn't willing to give up his riches to follow the Lord. We are presented with a choice. Moses chose pain and affliction over comfort and the pleasures of sin. And the result of the choices that he made, well, it was difficult. His life became more difficult. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, he said, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In other words, you know, the choice that we make today to follow the Lord, well, you know, we may struggle, we may have some sufferings, but it's not worthy to be compared. Listen, guys, we're going to heaven. You know, I see sometimes where people get all worked up about financial issues. You know, and especially sometimes with issues of wills, and when the family, you know, there's arguments that go on in a family because, you know, there's money that's left over, and all of a sudden this one wants this money, and this one wants this thing, and this one wants that thing, and I see these things come about. And you know, my wife and I were having a conversation about this, and I said, you know, I don't worry about any of that stuff. You know why? I got a mansion in heaven, man. I'm going to a place where the money that's here is going to be, it's going to be so great, they're going to take the most valuable thing here, which is gold, and they're going to pave the streets with it. Can you adjust that air, please, Sean? Some of the ladies are freezing. Notice I said the ladies. You guys are all sitting there like, ah, this is great, man. But the results of the choice are difficult sometimes. But how was Moses able to make this choice? Look at verse 26 with me. Incredible verse. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. First of all, he esteemed that Christ would later go through, as he looked forward to the cross, it was of greater value than those treasures in Egypt. That what Christ did for us on Calvary is of the utmost value, and Moses somehow knew that, that there was nothing more important. It was way more important than any treasure you can ever imagine. And then that secondly, that looking to the reward. Notice, Moses was very much like Abraham, and that he was heavenly-minded. He had a heavenly vision. He looked to the reward. He saw in the Spirit something about that reproach of Christ and something about that reward. He saw that one day there would be a Messiah that would come, and he kept his focus on the Lord. You know, as it says in Hebrews 12, for the goal that was set before him, as Jesus did. You know, Moses had that laser focus to make sure he always had his eyes on God. And he knew that God was in control. You remember the story of Apollo 13, a great story of obviously great movie of heroism, of what came through. And a true story, of course, of what really happened with Apollo 13. And if you've seen the movie, you know there was a period of time where they had to conserve power and they had to shut down the computer and steer the craft. And the astronauts needed to conduct a 39-second burn to remain to the main engines on and keep it. And they had to figure out how to steer. And at one point, Jim Lovell, the astronaut, he determined that if he could keep a fixed point in space of view through their tiny window, he could steer the craft manually, but he needed to have a focal point in order to do that. And the focal point he found was actually Earth itself. And so too, we need to have a focal point. Our focal point needs to be Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need to keep our eyes on him, as it says in Hebrews, looking to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it says in the King James Version, for he had respect for the recompense of the reward. He understood this reward he was going to receive. Recompense means what's coming back to you. The idea is reaping what you sow. Moses understood that without faith it was impossible to please God, but he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He knew, listen, this is very important. He knew that he could not do more for God than God would end up doing for him. You know, that's a very important truth for every one of us to understand. If you would realize that you can never do more in your life for God, then you're going to get back in reward. Never in your life. Every one of us who serve him, who trust him, you're going to receive crowns in heaven. You're going to be so incredibly blessed. And you're not going to be there saying, wow, I thought I'd get more than this for all that I did. Now, you might be standing in heaven saying, I wished I'd done more because look what they got. But you're never going to have that sense of feeling that way. It's so true. Because Jesus said it this way, even when you're reviled and persecuted and people say all kinds of evil against you, he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The reward we're going to receive. So Moses, he had this kind of faith. What did it do for him? As he took these steps of faith, as he did this, it made his faith grow even more, and he lived it out and became this great man of faith and led several thousand people out of Egypt into the promised land or toward the promised land. You see, Moses had priorities that were right. His priorities were denial of self. Notice, esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses, by his faith, was able to esteem or see the weight of the reproach of Christ as greater than those treasures. He denied himself. He took up his cross, and he followed the Lord. As Jesus would later teach, Moses was already doing this. The treasures of Egypt. Do you know that the treasures of Egypt, they uncovered King Tut's tomb, and they found the purest gold that's ever been found in the history of the world in King Tut's tomb. Moses could have had that. Moses could have been the Pharaoh himself. He was next in command. He could have been raised up into that position. And in that role, he could have any food he ever wanted. Some of us who eat too much, you think about that for a moment. Any delicacy. He could have any woman he would want in Egypt. He could have anything he asked for at the snap of his fingers. But what did he do? He denied himself. He denied himself for the sake of Christ. He denied himself for the sake of the people. He denied himself for the sake of obedience to the one he knew, to his faith. Of course, the greatest example we ever have of denying yourself is Jesus Christ himself. Matthew 8 tells us that he had no place to lay his head. Jesus didn't even have a pillow. Think about that. You know, we lay ourselves down in our beds every night, nice comfortable beds with our pillows and our, you know, I have a special pillow for my neck and, you know, got all these nice little things. When I travel, I get grumpy because I don't have my special pillow if I forget to carry that with me. And, you know, I complain when my comfort is disturbed. But Jesus allowed his comfort to be so disturbed, he came from glory to be born in a barn. He came from the presence of his Father to live in obscurity in a poor village for all those years. Well, Moses also had an enduring faith. Notice verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I love what Vance Havner said. He said, Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. Isn't that true? Remember that the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. Moses was able to see the future. He was able to see something in the invisible. You remember the story when Moses first wanted to help his brethren. You remember he was waiting there. He'd just come out of Egypt, and he's wanting to see what's going on with his brethren. And he sees an Egyptian fighting with two Hebrews. And he goes over and he kills the Egyptian. And the next day, he goes out and he sees two of his brethren fighting. And he goes over to see if he can stop the fight. And they said, are you going to kill us too? And Moses realized he's been found out. He realized his sin was public, and he knew that Pharaoh would be after him, so he fled to Midian, and he spent 40 years in the deserts of Midian. He forsook Egypt. Now, that first time he went, he was in fear, but this text tells us he forsook Egypt not fearing the wrath of the king. So this isn't talking about that first time, because the first time he left, he was definitely in fear. But something happened in Moses' life. He realized that there was something different. He obeyed the Lord eventually and went back to Egypt. But you remember how that all came about? Moses was out in the wilderness, and as he's walking around the wilderness, he hears this bush. He sees this bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. He walks over to the bush, and the bush speaks to him and says, "Moses, take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground." Now, it's one thing when a bush speaks to you. It's another thing when you start talking back to the bush. Moses starts having this conversation with the burning bush. He realizes that he's in the divine presence. There's something incredible happening here. And God's continual presence would follow him from all those days. He was about to attempt something, as God is telling him what to do, to attempt something that was humanly impossible, to go and face the Pharaoh and have the Pharaoh let several million people out of his kingdom. You think about that for a moment. But Moses was willing, and he was ready. But as he went and he faced that bush and he talked to the burning bush started to tell him what to do and where to go. And Moses was like, "No, I can't do this. I'm afraid." And then he said, no, I can't go because I can't speak. And then God said to him, "What do you have in your hand, Moses? What's that in your hand?" And I love when he says to him, "You can't speak." You know, he says to him, I can't speak. I'm slow of speech." And God said, I think he said it like this, "Who made your mouth, Moses?" Whose mouth is that? I made that. I can do that. And then he had in his hand the rod, the staff. You remember, and he said, "Moses, what's that in your hand?" And he said, "Throw it down. Release it to me, Moses." And when he threw it down, it became a serpent. Moses ran away. He left his shoes behind. But he said, "No, Moses, come back. Pick it up." And when he picked it up again, it became a rod again. What he was saying to Moses is, "Moses, if you lay it all down, if you lay everything down before me, it'll all be mine. And I'll be in control, Moses. You don't need to run the show. You don't need to be great in this sense, Moses. You can be great in me because you're submitted to me and you're yielded to me." He was afraid, but it says when he went back, he was not afraid because God took away his fear because of his faith. He had an enduring faith that was built into him in that experience, in those 40 years in the desert, in learning who God really was, and then the ultimate relationship with God, his encounter with God at the burning bush. And he could face Pharaoh with this enduring faith. He was able to face Pharaoh because he saw him who is invisible. He saw the spiritual realm. And that's the thing, if we would understand the spiritual realm and what God can accomplish, and we'll probably never have to be tested in our faith in the same way as Moses, but what do you have in your hand? What's that staff in your hand? "Oh, it's just a job I have." "Oh, really? God wants to use that." "What's that other thing in your hand?" "Oh, it's just my wife, my husband, my family." "Oh, really? Well, God wants to use that. Will you throw it down? Will you give that to God? And then pick it up again in God's way and let him use it in your life?" Whatever it is, whether it's a sling or whether it's a cross, God wants to use it all. My question for us today is, what if we really trusted God with everything in our life? What if you trusted God with your business life? What if you trusted God with your family? What if you trusted God with everything, put your faith in God with everything? What if you totally trusted God? Do you think he would let you down? Well, there's no doubt in my mind he wouldn't. Moses had this kind of enduring faith in which he trusted God. God uses Moses to call them out of Egypt. And in context here, the Hebrews, they're fearing the consequences of continuing in their faith. And God's saying to them, "Look what Moses did. He had everything and he gave it up. He had it all in Egypt, and he gave it up. And look what he became. Look how God used him. Look how I used him." And the writer of the Hebrews is saying to these Hebrews, "Listen, you guys, you don't have far, anywhere near what Moses had originally. But give it up. Anything you give up, you're going to get rewarded for." Moses overcame all his fears by faith, and he endured. And if you will face your fears in the Lord, you can overcome and endure in the Lord. You can carry through. And then we see there's also this delivering faith, a faith that's deliverance. By faith it says he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. It's an interesting thing because it's really saying in the present tense, it's the idea, that word kept is really the idea of instituted or to make in the present tense. By faith, Moses instituted the Passover and is still instituting it in a sense today. By faith, he began this feast, and there's something that relates to us today. Moses had not produced the deliverance that he promised until the time of the Passover. You remember that how the Passover came to pass. It's found in Exodus chapter 11 and 12. I encourage you to read it on your own. It's a very important, very essential story for us because how it came about, of course, is the final plague. The 10 plagues come. The last plague is the death of the firstborn of all the Egyptians. And God then tells the children of Israel, listen, I want you to take a lamb. And I want you to slaughter that lamb, and I want you to take the blood of that lamb, and I want you to place it on the lentils of your doorpost. And as they would place that, they would place it on the top and two on the sides, and it would form a cross. And God says to them, any house that I see the blood, I will pass over. And it's so important to understand that our deliverance, it comes through the blood. It comes because of the blood of Jesus Christ. No other reason. None of us, Christianity is not about how good we are or what we do. It's about the blood. It's about what was shed for you. It's about what was done for you. And if you don't have the blood applied to your life, then you're not a Christian. You don't know him. You're not saved. And you need to have his blood applied. God says it's based on the blood that I'll pass over. And he will pass over you and I. He'll pass over our sin because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's because of the blood of the Lamb. Our deliverance comes by faith in the blood. It's not about religion. It's about having your sin covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus makes a difference in our life. Because him who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it took significant faith for Moses to believe that that blood. You imagine here they were in that land. Think about living in that land at that time. An angel of death is going to come through and he's going to kill every single one of the firstborn sons in the land, except for the ones who apply the blood. And so they were told to do this. Take this blood, put it on your doorpost. And then they had to hear the angel of death coming through and the screams and the cries of all the people in the land as they came through. Imagine those moments. Imagine what that must have been like. The applying of the blood, the eating of the lamb, being prepared to leave their life at a moment's notice. They were told they had to leave to pass this ordinance and this vision onto the next generation. They were told to tell their children and their children's children and their children's children's children. Pass it on to the generation after generation. Practice this obedience. Practice this ordinance. And through this judicious act, you will have peace with God. And we have the peace of God in our lives by faith in what he has done, by the judicious act of Christ. And it's based on God's estimation of the value of the price that was paid. The price that was paid was valuable to God. It was God's only Son. And when we understand this, it causes us to love him with all our hearts, with all that's going on in this world around us. Listen, if you don't know Christ, you need to apply the blood to your life. Think about what's going on in this world right now. Is there any solution to any of the problems in this world that you can foresee in the future? Is there anything we look on the horizon and we can say, oh, there's hope in this candidate or this situation? The world is going absolutely crazy, folks. If you haven't noticed, read the news a little bit. Don't read it too much because you'll go crazy reading it too much, too. I told you last week, don't follow Fox News anymore, and then I'm watching Fox News this week. I had to repent. It's crazy, man. Planes getting shot down and issues going on in the Middle East that are nuts. They're crazy things that are happening. In Africa, there are Christians being murdered in Nigeria. These things are going on in our world. And listen, if you're not right with the Lord, now's the time. Get right with Him. Apply the blood to your life. Because God measures things by the righteous and the unrighteous, and the only way you're righteous is by the blood of Jesus Christ. The righteous know Christ, the unrighteous don't know Christ. And our security is found in the blood that was shed for us. Well, in our text today, we've seen some incredible things. First of all, we've seen the fearless faith of Moses' parents. Will you be a parent who has fearless faith? In the face of potential persecution in our nation or things that would come against or go, you would go against the grain, you would be swimming upstream, so to speak. But in this world, that's the way it is. We see Moses making important choices by faith. You have choices before you, every one of us. Every single day we have choices. The first choice that's most important is choose you this day whom you will serve. It's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Will you choose Jesus today? If you haven't done that, you haven't given your life to Christ, choose Him, first of all. You have a faith that endures, enduring faith like Moses had. Or a faith that's delivered because of the blood of Jesus. Because our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He calls us to a walk of faith. To be fearless when it comes to standing. To make the hard choices in life. To have the faith that endures in the struggles in life. We learn to trust God. And Moses learned to trust God. And he sent him. And he went without fear against the most powerful man in the world. An impossible situation. He overcame an impossible situation because of faith. And we can do great things for God, if we realize God is greater than all of our fears, and there's nothing, listen, there is nothing that can stop the will of God. Nothing. This faith is based on the work of Christ and His blood on the cross. Hebrew Christians needed to hear that. They needed to be brought back to this encouragement. And the author, our writer, he gives them that encouragement. And I thank the Lord because He gives us that encouragement today too. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.